As always, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. If you've practiced the Christian faith for at least a couple of years, then I'd venture to say that you've heard the story that's recorded in the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. I venture to say that you've heard it before. And know that you know, I know that you know that story well, and because you know it so well, I want us to focus on one particular phrase in that gospel reading. It's the words of the angel Gabriel to Mary, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid, I'm sure, was some sort of a catchphrase among angels in the Bible. Every time you see or hear or read about an angel addressing someone, some mere mortal, their words are always something to the effect of, "Do not be afraid, fear not, have no fear." Now, either angels are so ugly and hideous, or they're glorious beyond belief that their appearance may literally startle someone and cause perhaps a heart attack. So that's why they always precede what they have to say with, "Do not be afraid, fear not." And so the angel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid." Now, there's another thing that I think the angel is trying to get at whenever they say, "Do not be afraid or fear not." You know, it's in addition to their appearance, whether they're frightening or too glorious, I think the angels use this catchphrase to preempt whatever message they have to say, to kind of get the person ready to hear the news that they come to bear. For Mary, it was a message fraught with danger. It was the news that no teenage girl will ever want to hear from anyone, that she's pregnant. Now remember, Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. And that engagement was legally binding in those days. But they were not yet married, which means that we can safely conclude that Mary still lived in her parents' home, and that she and Joseph had not consummated their union yet. But now there's this angel in her room telling her not to be afraid, and telling her that she's going to be pregnant, and telling her that that news is going to be of great joy to the world. Now he said, "Do not be afraid, Mary," because he knew the chain of fears that would run through her mind hearing the news that she's pregnant. The chain of fears of Joseph's mind had, once he realized that the baby, the child, is not his. Mary probably realized that if this is true, that she's pregnant, Joseph will want nothing to do with her. And if that happened, people in the little town of Nazareth would start talking, and they will make the assumption that her pregnancy was because she was sleeping around with other guys in town. And if that happened, then Mary's parents will have no choice but throw her out of their homes, out into the streets. And if her own parents would throw her out in the streets, then her friends and her kinfolk will do no less, will forsake her. She would be ashamed. And either she would be shunned or were stoned to death, which was the penalty for adultery in those days. And if she wasn't stoned to death, she would be able, she would be all alone facing the demands and the task of labor and delivery, which included the very possibility of dying in childbirth. So it's because of that possible runaway train wreck of thoughts that the angel Gabriel told Mary, "Do not be afraid." He's trying to head off all those negative thoughts that would easily creep into Mary's head, Mary's mind. And I'm pretty sure that we would have had the same runaway train wreck in our own minds had we been visited with such news. Now, Mary's fears may not be the same as what we would have today, but nevertheless, I'm pretty sure that we too have plenty of our own fears these days. I'm reminded back in 2016, when certain politician ran for presidency and won, there were a lot of people came to me and expressed their fears that the end of the world is near. 4 years later, 2020, the other people on the other side of the aisle came up and said the same thing. The end of the world is near. And now, we're upon another election season, knocking on our doors. Yippee. Wondering the fears. We worry about all the political party that we oppose. We worry about what they're going to do, what kind of mess they're going to get us into. And then, give it enough time, the other political parties take over, and then the other side gets all worried and get fearful. And it goes back and forth, back and forth. Who's in power changes, but the presence of fear doesn't. We also fear of growing old. I know I do. Well, I can't really do much about stopping growing old. I think what I'm afraid of more is all the other stuff that comes along of aging. We fear that we might have to, one of these days, be put into the nursing home. There goes our independence. We fear that we might outlive our retirement funds or retirement accounts. We also fear death. Most people I know have a healthy fear of death, of dying. Well, along with that, we also fear the estrangement in our lives becoming permanent. That fear that our adult child, who we don't really talk much with, we fear that that may become permanent and doesn't get any better. And if we end up being divorced from the one person we thought we were going to grow old with for the remainder of our lives, we fear that as well. We worry about being unloved and unliked, and therefore we fear being alone. We fear that if we open ourselves up to others, that they may really know who we are and will leave us. We worry about our medical problems, both for ourselves and for our loved ones. And then when we recover, we worry about how to pay it all after the bills come rolling in. We worry about all kinds of things. We fear about pain. We fear of not having enough. Therefore, we don't dare give or share with others. Because if I share with others, then what would I have left? We fear doing what we ought because we don't know how it will be received. We fear acting on what is needed to be done because we never know how it will end up. It might end up biting us in the keister. Nobody likes that feeling. We fear all the time. We worry about this, we worry about that, we worry about having our hearts broken. We worry about the country we live in. We worry about the world we live in, all the wars that are happening here and there and everywhere, where there seems to be no resolution to it all. We worry about the world that we're leaving our grandchildren behind. And with the way things are in the world around us, we fear about natural disasters like severe storms and hurricanes and tornadoes and fires, all because of climate change. We fear change, and that is specifically very problematic. You know why? People fear change, but change is unavoidable in this life. Change happens all the time, whether you try to control it or not. And yet we fear change. All of these fears are real. All these fears are as real as the very beings that we are. And these fears are possible, even if they're not probable. They're not things that you can just write off. So in addition to these few fears that I've named, I'm sure you've got something else. You've got other fears and worries nagging at you, even as we speak, even as we sit here this morning. Well, whatever they may be for you, whatever fear and worries you may have at this very moment, I want you to remember what the angel's words to Mary were. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Know that these words apply to us. They still apply to you and to me this very day. There will always be dangers and difficulties in life on this side of heaven. There will always be all kinds of complexities. There will always be something to fear, something to worry about. And yet, we're to remember, do not be afraid. See, in the life, in the death, and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has made an end run around all our fears. God has outflanked them all. God has and is winning. And because God has won through what Christ did on the cross, so have you won. You are winners in the stories of this life. As your heavenly Father has been proven victorious through Christ, so are you. If you've read the book, the holy book, the Bible, you know how the ending ends. Jesus wins. God wins. Therefore, you win. Do not be afraid. Like Mary, we all have to do what we need to do in this life. with the fears and the worries and the concern that consumes us day in and day out. We are to do like Mary. Yes, Mary was a young teenage girl. We could say, well, she's naive. She was too young to know any better. But she did something that we are to emulate, that we to draw from. She trusted in the love that God has for her. She trusted in a God who dared to choose her for something momentous as the mother of the Savior of the world. She trusted in a God who will equip her. You know, I've heard so many times that, you know, God doesn't, how does it go? God doesn't equip those who are called. He calls those who he equips, or something to that effect. You know how it goes. Maybe I got that the other way around. The good news is that Mary said something that we, as people who are victorious, ought to say. Mary said yes to God. Mary said yes. Despite all the possible fears and worries of being a teenage mother, Mary said yes to God. Now, to be clear, to be absolutely clear, the Christian faith, the Christian life, does not teach us that our lives will be perfect once we become Christians. I found it to be the opposite. Our lives, our Christian faith, does not teach us that our lives or that everything will go our way once we become Christians. After all, Mary's child, the child that Mary gave birth to, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, the most faithful human being who ever lived, that child of Mary suffered and died a horrible death. So no, just because you're a Christian does not guarantee your life will be perfect, if not the opposite. But you have the promise of God. Do not be afraid. Christ suffered and died, but then he went through death and came out the other side more alive than ever. And so his resurrection promises us that although we must face trials and difficulties in this life, in the end, in the life to come, all will be well. A friend of mine, some of you may have heard of him, his name is Tony Campolo. Tony is a sociologist. He's was a university professor back out east in Pennsylvania. He tells a story about how he and his family became the only white family in an all-black Baptist church in Pennsylvania. One day he was walking from his from teaching when he saw a hearse outside the big Baptist church, but there is clapping and singing joyfully inside the church. So he goes in and he notices that there is a funeral happening. That's an open casket, and the reverend has come down and to say his last remarks to the deceased. And so the reverend comes up and takes the lid of the coffin and says, "Well, Clarence, there ain't nothing more to be said." And when there's nothing more to be said, he slams the casket lid and says, "All we can say is good night, because the Lord is going to give you a good morning." And at that moment, the choir gets up and sings on that great getting up morning, and they were partying. Tony said, "That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. A church that can turn mourning into dancing. They have no fear. They have no fear in death. They have no fear of the fact that even in the midst of the most negative aspect of life, you could find joy. You could find the ability to dance. In this life, and in the life of, and in the death of, and in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we know that the world has turned a corner. The world as we know it has never been the same since. And what the angel said to Mary is still valid and is being said to us by the risen Savior, whose birth we will celebrate this evening. His message is, do not be afraid. Come what may, you're mine. You're God's. You are the Savior's brother and sister. Do not fear. You're in good hands. You're in God's hands. Not all states, but in good hands nevertheless.